The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. This evening, we continue our Bringing America Back to Life series. Tonight, we will feature a presentation from our 2024 convention. Our speakers' ideas will inspire you with principles, experiences, and wisdom as they join us to pave the way back to life through prayer, action, voting, and education. I am pleased to introduce Arthur Pawlowski, a Canadian clergyman and civil and human rights activist. Though he has been fined, sentenced to jail time, and censored, he has never stopped fighting for freedom to speak the truth. Pastor Pawlowski first gained the media's attention during the pandemic in 2021, when he was fined for allegedly breaking lockdown rules for feeding the homeless in downtown Calgary. The government further persecuted him after refusing to allow the Canadian police into his church service during the pandemic. In a recent From the Median podcast, he recounted his rightful refusal to allow Canadian law enforcement personnel to enter his church because they did not have a warrant. Pastor Pawlowski stated that the encounter was caught on film, and the YouTube video has since received millions of views from people around the world who also rebelled against heavy-handed shutdowns and infringements of their liberties. Pastor Pawlowski is a Polish immigrant and grew up behind the Iron Curtain and came to Canada in search of freedom, which was being taken away by the very government who was meant to protect it. He came under the spotlight of Canadian officials again in 2023 when he gave a sermon to the participants of the Freedom Convoy. Because of that sermon, where he offered hope and support and encouraged peaceful demonstration, he was arrested, imprisoned, charged, and convicted of terrorism. No stranger to authoritarian government, Arthur Pawlowski recognizes the importance of standing up, speaking out, and rallying support. He declared, "Hope is dangerous to those who do not want you to be hopeful." He calls Christians to be the voice of truth in these troubled times.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. It's a privilege and honor to be here. And it's a good reminder. For me, I have been pro-life, of course, fighting from the very beginning, but it's good to be part of a conference like this to be reminded again and again and again that in the end of the day, life, many lives actually are at stake. So Molly, thank you so much for inviting me. It's a great honor to be here. Thank you, team, for putting this together, and keep doing it. Don't be discouraged. In the end, quite often I say to the people in our church, we know how the story ends. I've read the Bible, believe it or not. I am a very unusual pastor. I actually read the Bible. And I read the Bible many times, and I know how the story ends. We win, because the victory has been given to us on the cross already. Wow, I was listening to the conversation of people after the presentation that the doctor did just, you know, half an hour ago. Wow, powerful, powerful. But I have to say, I disagree with the doctor. I disagree on the genders. He said that there are two genders. I disagree. There are three genders, actually, believe it or not, and I'll prove it to you. There is male and female and stupid. I have been long enough on this side of eternity, and I'm telling you that gender really exists. I see it, and I meet that gender everywhere I go. And it doesn't matter how educated you are. I would say that the more educated you are, the dumber you have become. The more titles on your wall, more diplomas on your wall, the more craziness you actually believe in. I mean, imagine 10,000 genders, seriously. You know what? If you think that way, I would suggest to you, I'm from Calgary, Alberta. Probably most of you don't even know where that is. I call it my little Siberia. My grandfather escaped Siberia. It took him a year and plus to escape and come to Poland. But I live in a very beautiful place, and there is a lot of farmers out there. And I say to the people that think there are multiple genders to try to milk a bull. Just please call me before you do that so I can film it and send it everywhere, especially to universities, to show them what happens with stupid. Anyway, I am a very unusual pastor. I never wanted to be one. I fought God for years. I said, please, please, people are extremely stupid. I don't want to deal with them. They're like sheep going to the slaughterhouse. I'm not your man. Give me a horse and a sword. And send me with David's. I'll be gladly chopping the heads of the uncircumcised Philistines for you. Just let me do what I'm good at. I'm a fighter. I was always a fighter. I was a professional boxer, and then I was a martial art expert. I am a fighter. I was born for a fight, and I'm a Polish immigrant. And the more I read the Bible, the more I am convinced. Are you familiar with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Are you familiar with the heroes of old, Joshua's and Caleb's and Deborah's and Esther's? Are you familiar with those stories? I'm telling you, the more I read about them, the more I am convinced that they were Polish immigrants. I can't prove it to you yet. I'm working on it. But I'm telling you, if they were Canadians, they would be apologizing to the uncircumcised Philistines. I'm so sorry, but I have to chop your head off. Are you okay with that? It's not going to happen. We must tap into the Word of God. The past 4 years broke my heart. Because I remember I was listening to the most impressive silver tongue PowerPoint presentations of my colleagues, the priests and the pastors. And I remember saying to God, listen, you've got the wrong guy. Listen to my English. Listen to my accent. I mean, when I listen to those fancy preachers, I marvel. Their points are amazing and everything is just done beautifully. And here I am, a little me, the least in my father's house. And then the pandemic happened, and all of those fancy preachers were put to a test of faith. In the history of mankind, the churches have never closed their doors, never. It didn't matter what was happening, they always kept the doors of their churches open. And here, a little pathogen, 1,000 times smaller than the bacteria, that's why your face diaper will not work, it cannot work. It's impossible. The virus is 1,000 times smaller than the bacteria, so it cannot work. My colleagues closed their doors. They segregated people before that. They separated them. And then in the end, they put the guards preventing people from coming in unless they had a Nazi passport, the vaccine passport. I could not believe it. I could not believe it. The first thing that the government sent to me, I have a soup kitchen. We are feeding the homeless people for the past 25 years. I pastor two churches, one in a building. I teach theology and history. And also, I have another church. It's called Street Church. If you're interested, you can go to streetchurch.ca, and we feed the poor. The Canadian government sent me a letter and said, hey, we're in the middle of this crisis. You must stop feeding the poor to save their lives. And I'm thinking to myself, you people, I know you're stupid, but this is like a new level. You know, we have fallen into a big, you know, deep dig out, but you're still digging. And I said, you don't make any sense. If we are truly in this global crisis, then my services are needed more than ever. What do you think is going to happen to 15,000 to 20,000 different individuals facing homelessness if you shut down shelters and soup kitchens? What do you think is going to happen? Well, I work with the homeless people for the past 25 years. I'm telling you, they will turn into crime. Not because they're bad people, but necessities of life. You have to do something to survive if you will not get that. I'm here to help you. So, listening to the doctor, I had this feeling, this thought in my mind again that we are dealing with cancer. And the cancer is corruption, evil, sin. And a good doctor is not going to lie to you, and good doctor is not going to tell you, hey, there's nothing to see here. If you have a cancer, a good doctor will tell you the truth to save you your life. And we as clergy, we failed. We were supposed to tell the people that this is a lie. We were supposed to tell the people that, yes, you are to obey the government if the government is aligned with the government of God, with the kingdom of God, with his word. His word is the number one. Jesus said, if you love me, what? If you love me, obey the Caesar against my laws. If you love me, obey my commandments. That's why I'm absolutely shocked that anyone on this side of eternity calling himself or herself a Christian stands for murder of the innocent children. If you stand for the murder of the innocent children, you're not a Christian. You may go to a church regularly, but that is not turning you into a Christian. The same way you can be born in a McDonald's, you can go to McDonald's every single day and it will not turn you into a Big Mac. Going to a church is not going to turn you into a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. Obedience, by the fruits, you shall know them. Knowledge is power. When you have the right information, you cannot lose. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Many of you have seen me yelling at the police officers, get out, Nazis, get out, Gestapo. But you have to understand, I have been fighting with corruption since 2005. 2005, Canadian government said that feeding the poor right now in Canada is illegal. I have to stop feeding the poor, and I have to stop preaching the gospel because the name of Jesus is offensive. I have to stop distribution. Actually, there are laws giving free goods and services. So if I pray for you in public, I just committed a crime. Giving printed material, gospel tracts, Bibles, it's also a crime in Canada. So they told me I have to stop doing this. And I said, I read the Constitution and Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and the preamble, it states, whereas Canada acknowledges the supremacy of God and the rule of law. And I said to the police and the bylaw services, you're wrong. You are criminals. I'm just doing what I can under God's law and man's law. Well, they disagreed. So I became the first Canadian, believe it or not, to be arrested for publicly reading Bible. No amplification system. Six of my parishioners in a public park. I was forced to walk backwards, handcuffed, faced a year of imprisonment. So for me, this was not a first rodeo that I had with authorities. I was charged over 340 times. I've never met a man yet that has more citations than I. I'm breaking some kind of international records. I have been subjected to over 120 court cases. I'm talking about criminal charges, terrorism charges. I'm talking about all kinds of craziness. Queen's Bench, which is now King's Bench, courts of appeal, provincial, you name it. Right now we are in number of court cases as we speak. This month we are in a court. My appeal is in September. Crazy times. In other words, the evil has tried this many times before, and we should not be surprised that this is happening again. Evil never stops, my friends. Evil must be stopped. And that's up to us. I have been arrested multiple times during the pandemic for keeping the church's door open. I was charged with inciting people to come to church. Duh. That's what I do for a living. I invite people to come to church. And by the way, if you're in Calgary area, come. And I was charged with officiating an illegal gathering. That sounds like the nation I was growing up in, Poland, under communism dictatorship, behind the Iron Curtain, under the boots of the Soviets. I was charged criminally for participating. Well, I was a pastor participating in illegal gathering. I was criminally charged for baptizing my daughter in a public river, in a public park outside. When people saw me kicking those Nazis out of the church, that's what I saw as an introduction to Arthur Pulaski, but I have been fighting them for a very long time. In April of 2021, when that incident happened, for over a year, I was being harassed, intimidated, and followed by the police wherever I went. Ticketed without mercy. The culmination went crazy during the 2021 when Canadian government outlawed Christmas. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Canadian government said, we're canceling Christmas. It's illegal to have your brother for coffee. It's illegal to have a dinner with your parents. It's illegal to have anyone. You can't do anything. They canceled Christmas. Just a few weeks before that, we had Halloween, and the same politicians went on television and they said, have a safe and a nice Halloween. But a few weeks after that, we're canceling Christmas. You got to remember, at the same time in Canada, abortion clinics were open. Liquor stores were open. Marijuana stores were open. And I could take the entire church to IKEA, which said only 500 allowed. And that was perfectly illegal, but I could not have my brother for coffee. So what I did, well, I'm a Polish immigrant. I invited my whole family for dinner and my friends. I took a picture and I sent it to them. Come and get me. So eventually they did. And then I went a little bit further and I said, you devils, you can't cancel Christmas. So I went on television too. Why not? They can go on television. I went on television and I said, I'm inviting people to the biggest Christmas celebration in the land. And thousands showed up. We had AAA steaks for the homeless. We had gifts for the poor. And I did the unthinkable. According to the government, I did something that will kill the entire nation. The city will collapse within 24 hours because at that time they outlawed singing. Singing was against the law, so I hired carolers. And we were singing Christmas songs. It was awesome. And you know what? No one dropped dead. I know it's a shocker. No one died, including the carolers. Everyone survived, but I broke a record. Over 120 police officers, SWAT team, special anti-terrorists, and chief of police showed up. And I had a meeting with him, and I said, listen, you're wasting paper, right? It's all about saving the environment. Instead of giving me so many papers, give me one big one. I said, you're giving me millions of dollars worth of tickets. Give me one for $1 billion. I will become the first man on earth that got such a huge, amazing ticket. And you look at me and, you know, they all mask up like bandits. And his eyes were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He just like could not believe it. Well, you've just met a Polish man. I guess a real Polish man. You know, and by the way, I say that quite often, if you want to shine for Jesus, you have to be polished. You know? Anyway, we can talk about this later. So the same tactics, what we witnessed. Well, I end up, it was Christmas, right? Remember? So they came bearing gifts. I end up with 15 COVID tickets for that day alone. I had detectives at my house. I was followed by the police. I had undercover. I had all of the force that Canada has trying to crack me down. Just a few days ago, I learned that every week there was a special meeting with all the forces, including, you know, RCMPs like your FBI, talking about how to destroy this Polish man and his church every week. So I had every force knocking at my door, different hours. Police, undercover, detectives, health inspectors, bylaw services. But I think the culmination of the story was the truck convoy. Have you seen the truck convoy, the Freedom Convoy? Well, at that time, I was called Canada's pastor, Freedom Pastor. I was all over the news, everywhere. After the Get Out video, which was watched over a billion times, the most watched video during the Passover celebration on earth. With my broken English, I asked a friend of mine, I said, like, I don't get it. I yelled at them before. Many times I yelled at those people. Why this video? And he said, because people are tired. They're desperately looking for some hope. And those few words, get out, sparked that hope around the world. And we started to have the truck convoy because of it as well. And of course, this is continuing right now all around the world. I don't know if you are watching the farmers being cracked down by the police, beaten, and crazy things are happening. It's a repetition of history. So I said yes to the truckers. They asked me to conduct a series of church services for them, and I did, multiple. And then the Coots and Milk River came. Ottawa was happening already. I was asked to stay behind. We had 20,000 people every week on the streets of Calgary. I was speaking all over the place. People were desperately looking for a message of hope. They needed their pastors, and the pastors were nowhere to be found. They all got scared. They locked their doors like cowards that they are. The priests, not even one kept his door open in a Catholic church. It was disgusting, shameful. Shameful. I could not believe it, that we read the same Bible and we preach the biblical truth, and yet the whole church has been built by the blood of the martyrs. We read about the exploits of the apostles, the book of Acts, which actually is the only book that has no ending. Why? Because God wants us to write another chapter in the book of Acts. I delivered a number of church services. I stayed behind. Ottawa was awesome, but I did another church service in Milk River. Milk River is about 14 kilometers from the point of entry between Montana and Alberta. And then I did another one in Coots, the RCMP, so it's like your FBI was there. They did a blockade. They watched me. They recorded me. You know, I live stream everything I say. I have nothing to be ashamed of, and I'm not afraid. So they filmed me, and I went to them. I said, I want to go to Coots. Coots is right at the border. And they opened the barricade for me, and I went over there, and I delivered a 19-minute sermon. We had Lord's Supper. We were singing hymns, national anthem. I prayed for the people. We had Lord's Supper, and I did a 19-minute sermon. What did I say that scared the government so much? Well, I told them to stand for God and state-given rights. I reminded them about history. I'm a Polish immigrant. I saw solidarity movement unfolding in the 80s. And I'm telling you, the Iron Curtain was broken. Berlin Wall fall down because few people were willing to pay the price, and they did. Number of them died. It's our turn right now. God is watching. He is looking at us. Will you stand up against this evil? Will you rise up? Will you be counted in the army of the martyrs before you? I told them, if you don't want to fight for yourself, I get that. The older we get, the more we have to lose. And many people are not willing to lose anything these days, especially in the Western society. So I said, if you don't want to fight for yourself, okay, fine, but please fight for your children. Don't you love them? And their children. What kind of a nation are we going to leave behind if we will not rise up and stand up and listen to a man that grew up in hell? And if you don't want to believe Pastor Artopolowski, fine. Don't believe me. Believe my accent. I grew up in hell. So we are observing the same tactics, the same modus operandi. Right now, they're trying to pass Bill C-367, which will effectively criminalize Christianity in Canada. Do not kid yourself, we're dealing with criminal enterprise that is doing everything in their power to subdue you and then enslave you and your children. Eventually, for my sermon, I stepped out of my house and I was arrested by every force in the land except soldiers. RCMP, undercover, Calgary police uniformed, SWAT team, special anti-terrorist team, blocked the street. It was the greatest takedown of El Chapo of Calgary. Interrogated for hours, taken to prison, stripped naked, solitary confinement, concrete cells, metal cages. They kept a pastor in Canada in metal cages. Well, I remember that from the Soviet era. And of course, I know what is happening in North Korea, in China. They kept me in little cages you could not move, suffocating. And that was the treatment I was being given by the Canadian authority. Back to solitary, then solitary on concrete. And eventually I was kidnapped, denied access to my lawyers, kidnapped by the sheriffs, shackled like an animal, taken to Maxbot in Edmonton, hundreds of kilometers away from my home. My lawyers didn't know what happened. My family didn't know what happened to me. The inmates, I was so popular in prison that everywhere I was being transferred, they were banging on the door, "Free Pastor Art, free Pastor Art, free Pastor Art." And I'm thinking to myself, while I don't get many phone calls from pastors and priests thanking me for what I'm doing, but I was the most popular prisoner in Canada by very bad people. I don't know how to take that. They really loved me. And 21 days in my solitary confinement, they sent a petition to the director. They said, if you don't release him out of the solitary confinement, you're going to have a riot. And the next day I was out. I was able to do church services for the inmates. I led them to Christ. I prayed for them and some were healed. And the government got scared because I had the entire unit, every single inmate at my church services. Imagine that. Some of the people, if you see them during the night, you will be scared. Tattooed, slashed. My God, have mercy on me. One day, this inmate comes completely broken, tattoos everywhere, you know. He comes to my cell. I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm dead. And he comes and he pounds his chest and he says, and tears are coming. He says, you restored my humanity. So I was kidnapped, taken to Edmonton, and they placed me in Maxbot. For those that do not know what that means, that's for the most dangerous terrorists. I was considered the most dangerous inmate in Canada to a point that I was told I cannot have any interaction with another human being. I'm too dangerous. And I'm not allowed to have a pen. Why there was such a big deal with a pen? I'm telling you because I was writing a book in jail, which is coming out very soon. The whole story. It's coming. I'm naming every villain in the land that did this. And every day, what happened to me. So that book is going to come this summer. It takes a while because the story is so complex. I would need a half a day to just tell you all the things that happened. But in Maxbot, I was not allowed to have a pen. I was considered too dangerous, freezing conditions, minus 28. I'm shivering. I can't sleep. I can't function. I cannot do anything. And 30 minutes out of cell. Sometimes they would keep me 26 hours straight in a box. So eventually, I was released to have my phone call, and I said my goodbyes to my wife. I realized I'm not coming out. They intend to murder me. Five different inmates already testified that the guards were giving them incentives to murder me in prison. So we knew it's serious. They lit my house on fire when we were sleeping. A few months before, they lit our church on fire. They vandalized our church for months. They unscrewed tires of our pickup truck, and the tire just took off on its own while driving. I was physically attacked multiple times. So I knew this is a serious thing. So I said my goodbyes. I don't think I'll see you ever again. I think they will murder me here. So she called the lawyers. Lawyers sent a letter to the judge. Judge learned about what is happening to me, and that scared the authorities. And I was moved from that Maxbot, and you won't believe where I was moved. I was moved to a psych ward, without the evaluation of the doctors, without the knowledge of Alberta Health Services, totally Soviet Putin style. And I was told, when I walked in, I saw people jumping up and down, going in a circle, and I'm asking the guards, where am I? And they started to laugh, and they said, you're in a wild, wild west. I said, what that even means? You're in a psych ward. And they put me with a schizophrenic that chopped his brother with a machete. And they put me right there, and I said, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Because he had all pens he wanted. He could stab me at any moment. I think that was the intention. But you see, the favor of God was wherever I went. I was the most popular prisoner in the country. Everywhere I showed up, either I was transferred in a little metal cages from one place to another with other inmates or chained, penguin march. They would look at me and it's like this one time in the psych ward. I'm sitting next to a guy and says, God, I don't know how to minister to crazy people. What, I'm supposed to jump with them and like, or go in a circle, like just I'm lost, like a little baby. I know how to deal with criminals, but how you deal with broken minds? So I sat with the guy, and he looked a little bit relatively okay. He was drawing something, and he looks at me. I think, oh my God, another one. And he's like, aren't you that pastor that gets arrested all the time? And I said, guilty as charged. And he jumps from his chair, and he yells, you are my hero. You're my hero. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm in trouble. If the crazy people, if for them I'm a hero. Wow, I have fallen very low. But that was the reality. The first thing I did, I prayed for the schizophrenic guy, and I said, God, please have mercy. Do not allow him to stop me. I told him my story. I said, I'm considered the most dangerous inmate here. I'm not allowed to have a pen. And he looks at me, well, you can have mine. So that's how I was able to keep writing my book. And my lawyer smuggled it because I was afraid they're going to confiscate it because, of course, I was naming the guards and everything. Do you know that in Canada, in Canadian prison system, every day, twice a day, four very highly addictive narcotics are being given to the inmates by the guards and the nurses? Every single day, fentanyl and cocaine. Every single day, twice a day, taxpayers paid. So I was writing all of it. My lawyer smuggled it out, and some pages were missing, but I remembered, so I did restore them. Murder of God's creation opens a curse on a nation. Don't kid yourself, we have a cancer, and the cancer has to be cut out. Western society has fallen. In the past few years, we have been tested, and we have failed the test. Test of faith, humanity, family, sanity. We desperately need God back in our nations. There is no greater sin besides rejecting Christ than murder of your own baby. Imagine if a mother can murder her own baby, what she's going to be willing to do to you. Here is how Mother Teresa put it. A nation that kills its children in the womb has lost its soul. Pope John Paul II, of course, I remember that growing up. I was privileged to do events on the land, on the ground, that he was doing his famous speeches. Holy Spirit, come and visit this land. He said, a nation that kills its own children has no future. Has no future. We have fallen. We have fallen. When God of life is rejected, the evil of Satan is embraced. And we are being judged. I could tell you about the things that he showed me, the visions that I had. I'll share it with one. About half a year before the big lie, I saw a vision of a fence, and I knew that the fence represents the whole earth. And there were people sitting on the fence. You see, we love sitting on the fence, right? We love just to observe. We don't want to be involved because it costs us something. So I saw multitudes of people sitting on the fence, and I saw powerful two hands, and he grabbed that fence, and he shook it violently, and he kept shaking it. And I knew those hands are God's hands. My friends, he's shaking us. The judgment starts in the house of the Lord. And he kept shaking that fence, and I saw people falling to the left and to the right, to the left and to the right, and he did not stop shaking. And eventually, when no one was sitting on the fence, he spoke to me. He said, when I'm done shaking, everyone will have to choose either me or Satan. We're living in this time. Everyone is forced to make a choice. What lack for the rulers, the men don't think, said Adolf Hitler. So we must start thinking. Know your enemy. You must understand with whom you're dealing with. And the enemy is not coming. The enemy is not within our gates. The enemy is within. If I had power, if I was your president, I believe that your rightful president, Donald Trump, will be elected again. I truly believe that. You don't have to like the man. He's not your Jesus. Don't like him. I don't care. Don't like me. I don't care. This is not a popularity contest. We are fighting for our children. This is a war. And during a war, you need a fighter. You don't call a lawyer when the bullets are flying. You don't call a teacher when the tanks are approaching. You call a general with his army. Winston Churchill, I never liked that man. However, he was the best prime minister for a time such as the one that he was elected in. If it was not for Winston Churchill, I believe that Germany would win. He was strong. He was arrogant. He was stubborn like a donkey. That's your Donald Trump. And if he wins, I'm telling you, he's a businessman like I was. We keep our promises. Because in business, if you don't keep your word, you will have no business and clients. I always had clients that were giving me more money for me to work for them. He's going to keep his promise and he's going to clean the swamp. It's about time. This is a fight to the death, and I want a warrior at my side. Someone that knows how to fight and is not intimidated by the uncircumcised hyenas. And I'm not talking about Biden. Biden doesn't even know where he is. He thinks he's in China most of the time. So you will either be a victim or a victor. Remember, globalism is communism. Quite often I'm asked, how was life when I was growing up? It was hell. Imagine you have your coffee over there. And you can just go over there and get your coffee. Well, under communism, at times we had to wait in a lineup for 3 days and three nights to buy 1 kilo of coffee. You go to your gasoline place and you don't even think about it. You just fill your tank. In Poland, you couldn't. It was the government that was allocating certain amounts of liters for your car. It was the government that was telling you how much meat you can eat. Oh, you want chocolate? Sorry. We, the government, will tell you how much you can have. Sugar? Oh, not for you. Sorry, it's only for the elites. And is that not what we are witnessing right now? They're telling you you will own nothing. Why they are telling you that you will own nothing? Because they will own everything. The same people that are telling you you will eat bugs, crickets, are eating the most expensive steaks. Have you watched what happened in Davos over 1,000 private jets? They go into their SUVs, eating the most expensive meals, telling you that you will own nothing and you will be happy. Well, we did own nothing and we were not happy under communism. I'm telling you as a testimony. Growing up under communist regime is a constant survival. You're constantly looking like a white tail in the bushes for your next meal. It's crazy. Hell wants you enslaved. Hell hates your freedoms. Hell is afraid of the truth. That's why we're being censored like crazy. And once you're living in poverty and spiritual bankruptcy, in hell you're totally controlled and subjected to cruelty and no prospect of future. I have to read fast now because time is not my friend. It's fascinating. When I was locked in a solitary confinement, my biggest enemy was time. There's nothing to do. You go crazy. You walk back and forth. You count the bricks. You know, you do all kinds of different weird things. And the time drags. It's your worst enemy. But on the outside, the time is my biggest enemy as well. It's interesting. So we must use it wisely. Hell wants you to worship the devil and God is banished. Good is called evil and evil is lifted up and cherished. Everything is upside down. Communism is fear. Constant worry about the future. Fear of saying something that is contrary to the party line. Fear is seeing or hearing something that you are not allowed. Things that are not approved by the elites. Communism is not allowing you to live, only allows you to exist for time being. Every aspect of your life is subjected to the wishes of the slave masters. They become your gods. Whatever they say becomes the law that you must obey. Is that not what happened? That psychopath Fauci, he comes on television and he tells you one thing in the morning and he changes his tune in the evening. And they want us to believe everything that comes out of their mouth. They're evil, wicked, demon-possessed psychopaths. Understand with whom you're dealing with. Here is what Voltaire said many years ago that is still so true today. If you want to know who controls you, look at who you are not allowed to criticize. That's why they're coming with this new bill. Criticism of Canadian government will be outlawed. Under the boots of the tyrants, everything is gray. People are depressed and hopeless. They turn into alcohol, drugs, and or other things that allow them to forget, even if it is only for a brief moment. You never know who is who. I'm sure we have spies here. In my church are government agents. You never know who will turn you over to the oppressors and why. Conditioning, indoctrination, and propaganda was everywhere. Woodrow Wilson said, "Liberty has never come from government. Liberty has always come from the subjects of it. The history of liberty is a history of limitations of governmental power, not the increase of it." So I have a few words for the young people. You're the future of this country. I'm doing this for my children. I got three children. I was offered millions of dollars to move to America. I was offered by the Canadian government $2 million to shut up. I was offered a guaranteed seat at the legislature. I was offered a government job, $250,000 a year. You see, I'm not for sale. I have already been bought. I have been already bought by the precious blood of Jesus. That's why I am not for sale. So young people, we need you. We desperately need you. You have to help us to fight this. This is the greatest attack on the middle class ever seen in the history of mankind. They're creating in front of our very eyes two categories of people, the masters and the slaves. Globalism is a totalitarian regime that will have a total control over your life and the lives of your children. There are a few things that you can always observe when you're being subjected to dictatorship. Suppression of the media. Deplatforming, censorship, misinformation, disinformation, open lies repeated again and again and again. Demonization of the messages of truth, name-calling, conspiracy theories, Western propaganda, and attack on the Eastern communist, socialist paradise. I was living in that paradise. Looks like hell. Where faith in God, freedom is not wanted or needed. Only state-approved information allowed. Everything else attacked, vilified, and viciously destroyed wherever possible. Arrests just for listening to a European radio. You could go to prison for 5 years if you dare to listen to a European radio. You could go to prison for 1 year if you had a pamphlet that was not approved by the Communist Party. No one is allowed to disagree with the ruling God. What they declare aside becomes the law. Jacques previous said, when truth is no longer free, freedom is no longer real. The truths of the police are the truths of today. A show trial I was subjected to a show trial, and the judge was taken from another city, placed Stephen Johnston, that crooked crown prosecutor, as you're like district attorney, lied so many times that there's absolutely nothing we could do about it. And eventually, the judge found me guilty on all charges. I'm the first Canadian ever to be charged with the eco-terrorism, found guilty. I was the first one ever to be found guilty on inciting mischief, 10 years of imprisonment. I faced who knows how many years. And the sentencing was scheduled for September. And it's thanks to America. That's why I love you. It was thanks to American politicians, Ohio State House, and others that put pressure on the Canadian government. They realized they're turning me into an international martyr. And the judge realized that, politicians realized that. And during my sentencing, he said, I can sentence you for 12 years at least. And then he walks out and says, I have to discuss this with some other people. He goes and he comes back and says, time served, and he released me. I believe that was done because of you. Of course, God first, but also the people that cared. And why would you care? Why would you must care? Because you see, I am like a shield. People that are fighting in the front lines are like shield. When we are going to be removed, you're next. If Canada falls, you're next. You have to understand that those people will never stop. A show trial is when the government already decided your fate. Education. Education is simply indoctrination. Brainwashing of the young people ensures the next generation of brain-dead individuals that will just blindly follow orders without questioning them or even thinking about them. When I ask the police officers, why are you doing this? Well, I'm just following orders. I'm doing what I'm told. That's what the Nazis said during the Nuremberg trial. That's why I am heavily advocating for the Nuremberg number two. Some of those people should pay for what they have done to our loved ones. Adolf Hitler said, he alone who owns the youth gains the future. That's why the young people are so important in this fight. Going to school is a constant brainwashing of the next new generation of obedient slaves to the political system. Government and government officials. Wayne Dyer said, freedom means you are unobstructed in living your life as you choose. Anything less is a form of slavery. So my question is, do you want to be slaves? If you want to be slaves, if I would ask you a question, whose land is this? If it's the Bidens and the Clintons and Obamas and the Gates land, I rest my case. Just bow down and be a good slave. But if you're like me, if you understand the concept that everything that we see is God's gift to all of us, is my land, therefore rise up, stand up, and fight for what's rightfully yours. Fear and never knowing what comes next brings terror into everybody's lives. That's globalism. That's what we witness. They blanketed the entire earth with terror, with fear. Why they hated me so much? From the truck convoy, believe it or not, I was the first one to be arrested. Why? A pastor giving a message of what? Hope. They hate hope. This whole conference is about hope. Giving hope to the next generation that is being slaughtered by the millions. In that system, all must be constantly terrified, walking on a thin ice. Anything and everything can get you in trouble. It is done that way by design. You never know if you have broken the law or not. Entertainment, praising the villains and the system and at the same time vilifying the victims. God, freedom, prosperity is laughed at and is constantly mocked. Very heavy censorship. Business controlled and monitored by the state. No real property rights. People are enslaved and constantly robbed. Even if you think you own something, it can be taken away from you at any given moment. That forces people into stealing and willingly breaking the law. This happens not because people are bad, because people are trying to survive. Franklin D. Roosevelt said, true individual freedom cannot exist without economic security and independence. And my friends, that's how they are finishing you off. They're attacking your economy. People who are hungry and out of a job are the stuff of which dictatorship are made. Family. Family must be worshipped must worship the state. According to the government, it is them that have the final say. If it comes to parental care, rights, and beliefs, the family simply must be the extension of the views of the government. Children are treated as the future workforce, therefore they belong to the state. Religion. The faith must be placed in the state. I remember growing up, we were told by the teachers, and we all look alike in our uniforms, Dieduszka Stalin, that means Grandpa Stalin, savior of Europe. We were told that thousands of times. He's our grandpa. He's the best man ever lived. He's the savior. He saved us. That's what we're seeing right now. They dictate what you can believe in and how. The state is God. That's what we've seen during the Pharaoh's time. The religious organizations are controlled and monitored at all times. You must worship them or else. Globalism is communism on steroids. We are facing the biggest threat ever seen in the history of mankind. Communism, fascism, socialism, Ottoman Empire, Roman, Babylonians, Persians, Vikings, Mao Zedong, Hitler, Stalin, all those psychopaths before were regional. And in comparison, just puppies. What we're facing today is a beast, and it's global. Charles Peggy said, tyranny is always better organized than freedom. That's why I love what I see here. Americans, you're amazing in organizing things. Keep organizing them. Teach us. Show us how to do it because you're good at it. So how you counterattack globalism? Do the opposite of what they're telling you to do. Oppose them at every corner and in every way. And that's what I did. What did I do? I just did what I was told I'm not allowed to do. That's it. Shut the door. No. Stop singing. No. I'm a horrible singer, by the way. That's why I hire carolers. They do a better job. And if I was singing, I'm sure that a few people would drop dead. So I hired professionals and no one dropped dead. Spread the truth everywhere you go. When they tell you electric cars, buy a biggest truck ever, gasoline. Support your local economy. When they say watch something, turn the TV off. Start working, uniting with each other. Enough of this division. I'm a Catholic, I'm a pastor, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal. Enough, people. Don't you get it that the big fish is eating us all?
You've been listening to Arthur Pawlowski, a Canadian clergyman, civil and human rights activist, and presenter at the 2024 Bringing America Back to Life convention. Thank you all for joining me this evening. As I say goodnight and God bless each and every one of you, I'd like to close with the words of the Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org. Or call 440-668-4049. Through our fromthemedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.